chapter 9. I appreciate Miss Linda's talking about getting able to work in the kitchen. I appreciate all those that worked in the kitchen, all those that worked everywhere, anywhere, and then always in the Jubilee. A lot of people get involved in those things that most of us don't know anything about. I appreciate every one of you for helping and working hard. And Jubilee certainly was a blessing. I praise God for every message, for every song, everything said, everything that was done. And I give God the glory for that and thank him for it. And I pray that God will help us now that we'll continue on. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. Let's stand, please, while I read. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day. Another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord, their God. Then stood upon the stairs of Levi, Jeshua, and Bani, Kemuel, Shionai, Bunai, Sherebiah, Bani, and Cherenai, and all the rest of them, you can call them what you will, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, and there's their names, and then stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be the glorious name which is exalted above all blessings and praise. I wanted to pick up on a thought here just for a few moments tonight. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to come to the house of God and praise your name. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come and worship and come to confess and come to let you have your way in our hearts. And Lord, how good it's been to hear the testimonies of your people. And Lord, we surely thank you and praise you for all the testimonies. How good you've been to all of us. And what a blessing it is, Lord, to be a privilege, be a part of Jubilee. And I praise you for that. But now, Father, Jubilee is passed for this year. And I pray you guide us on to do that to please you and bring glory to you. Help us tonight preach for a few moments and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I titled this tonight. I just say, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? I'm really concerned about what we're going to do now. I'm not just making some title to sound good. I'm concerned, what are we going to do now? You get in Jubilee and everything's up and you've got a bunch of preachers come in and people that are excited, and it's exciting to see the crowd. I'd get excited if the house is fooling about and it's full on Sunday morning. Amen, that'd excite me a little bit more. Amen, I need it. And but it's not in the crowd. That's not what we really are. You can't preach to people if you don't get them here. And so I'm interested in the crowd in that sense. But I don't want to gauge what we're doing on the crowd. And I don't want to gauge everything we do according to Jubilee, because that's a special time, a special services, and God works in a special way. There's different people here, different crowd here, and that makes all the difference many times. And all I can say is tonight, what are we going to do now? But I looked in Nehemiah, and Nehemiah went back. Remember, I preached something out of Nehemiah before we got to Jubilee. Nehemiah had gone back and going to build the walls. He saw the city in such turmoil, and then he wept over it, and he prayed over it, and he waited on God. At the right time, he asked the king permission to go back, and you know how the Lord allowed him to go back. Now, I want you to look with me in chapter 6, if you would please, Nehemiah. Chapter 6, let's look in verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elu, and in 52 days, they had finished the wall. They got it finished, And look at verse 16. It came to pass that when all enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about, all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. I say hallelujah. I believe that some folk during Jubilee saw that our God was at work. I believe they saw that some things were happening that God was in. And our enemies certainly didn't like that, but that's okay. And I want you to turn in chapter 7. Now that they've got the wall built, they rejoicing about that and have that. And verse 61, breaking in the middle of that verse, here's some people that claiming to be in the priesthood and seed of Israel, but they could not show their father's house nor their seed whether they were of Israel. Verse 64, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. They couldn't prove their genealogy. They couldn't prove they was in the priesthood. They didn't have it. That's another message in that. Is your name in the register? Are you in the genealogy? I'm glad I am. God saved me, put me in the family, and thank God I'm listed. I may not be listed in Matthew chapter 1 or other places in the Bible, but I'm still in the book of life in heaven, the Lamb's book of life, saved by the grace of God. Now look at chapter 8. And these messages and all these by themselves. And the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street and was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. He read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Before the men, the women, those that could understand, the ears of all the people that were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for that purpose. And so Ezra now is reading now the word of God, and they made a pulpit for the purpose of that. And verse number 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And I said, what are we going to do now? Well, they kept on reading the word of God after they got the walls built. They seen some things done. The enemy was mad, upset. And they got the word of God out and got to reading it. And then they got to saying amen, amen. Then they got to lifting their hands. I say praise God. It's okay to say amen after Jubilee. It's okay to raise your hand after Jubilee. It's all right to get excited after Jubilee. And what are we going to do now anyhow? And so here Ezra, he is in the word of God. And I just throw this in for good measure. In verse 10, last phrase of that verse says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, is your strength. Now, as we look at chapter 9 and come to this, I want to back up to chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. And here's when they dwell in some booths they hadn't done for a long time. All the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day they had not the children of Israel done so. There was very great gladness, very great gladness. And also day by day, from the first day of the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. On the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. In other words, as after the 7 days, had that eighth day, they had been feasting, then they're going to fast and putting sackcloth and earth on them. Chapter 9, verse 1, I read to you, that were assembled and fastened with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Now, I want to just give you a few thoughts here, and we'll go to the house. But I'm thinking tonight, about that Jubilee and about what God did to my heart and your heart and what God's done here, how easy it is to get in a real low after a great big high. Have you ever noticed after a real good revival, after a good meeting, after even on Sunday morning service, if it gets real good and I use the word high or stirring of God in a special way. That Sunday night, I come back with a little fear in my heart. Or if it gets real good on Sunday night and it really gets moving good and God's stirring hearts in a special way. I'm not talking about in any service where the Word of God's preached. I'm not trying to say one's better than the other. I'm just saying our emotions are affected more in some than others. And surely you heard preaching this past week in Jubilee that you don't hear around here regular basis. I can tell you that right now. And I don't, I can't even think of their names. I'm not a Brian McBride. I'm not a Billy Mitchell. I'm not a Joe Arthur. I'm a Ray Stewart. And that's all that I am. That's not much, but that's all that I am. And all I know to do is preach like Ray Stewart and try to help you. And but I'm glad God gives us men come by, men that got a special way about them, can bring out things that I know is there, but I don't know how to say it. And some things I didn't even know was there. Amen. And but I'm thankful God taught me, God helped me. I believe God helped you. Amen. But then I could not get away from that thought. It kept ringing in my head. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And so I kept ringing and ringing, and I said, well, Lord, what are we going to do now? And he said, let's look in the book and see what we're going to do now. And I believe after they had got their work done, what had happened, they had the walls built. They were worshiping. They got the law out. They got that. And what did they start doing? Well, look at it with me, please. And when they fasted and were praying undoubtedly in the earth upon them, they humbled themselves. And I'm humbled by what happened this past week. I am humbled that our God would visit Gateway Baptist Church like he did. I'm humbled that God, I'm not sure how many years ago, 23, I've got to get that figured out. But anyway, ever how many years ago it was that God laid on our hearts to have a Jubilee. And we got that started, and I didn't have in my imagination anywhere it would go where it has went to. And that's God that did that. All I did was try to obey God. And I'm one of the few of us to get together and try to encourage each other and try to encourage some preachers and try to help some. And being a pastor myself, I knew how important it was. I knew what a meeting like that had meant to me as a young preacher. I remember that night, one night, late in the night at James Lockie's, when I sat with Brother James Lockie and Brother, Percy Ray. When I sat with them one night, thank you. You always need somebody around to help you. And I sat that night outside of, all we had was a curtain hung up. I mean, I went to meeting there when they didn't have dormitories, they didn't have a place to stay, didn't put in motels, stayed in the fellowship building, hung a curtain up, and had bunk beds, and that's where we slept. And wasn't the most comfortable thing I ever been on, but I wouldn't take anything for that night. I sat outside that curtain and talked with those men of God. And I was just a young preacher hungry for God. I was hungering for something. I remember what that did to me. Then in those services when they'd preach, and God would stir my heart. Hey, something inside of me made me want to say hallelujah and want to get back to church and preach. And God stirred me over and over again in those meetings. And such a great time, and what it meant to me in the fellowship, and how it helped me. And when I got here, I thought, Lord, I can't get away from that. I did not start it because I felt like I could do it. I didn't start it because I felt like it'd be what, make it some name or something like that. God knows my heart. Only reason we started Jubilee was because I felt like God wanted me to. And then I look back this past week and I say, hallelujah. I'm humbled. I'm very humbled by it because God took a little old something and built something out of it that could help a lot of preachers. I had a lot of men go out saying, don't know how it helped me this week. I've had phone calls. We've had letters and cards and about how much it helped them. Hey, listen, it costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of work. It does a lot of, takes a lot out of everybody. But I'll tell you tonight, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Some of those preachers go back and they'll win people to God that I'll never know anything about and you'll never know anything about till we get to glory. And I say hallelujah. First thing in all, what we're going to do now, we're going to be humble about it. Amen. We're going to give God praise about it and thank him for what he did for us. And so they humbled themselves. They just sat down in dirt and sackcloth and fasted and humble themselves before God. And that's the first thing we need to do if we're going to have revival. And that great verse that we always quote in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from the wicked ways. Well, humble. And so tonight, I just wanted to start out saying, what are we going to do now? Let's just be humble. And thank God he let us get in on it. Let's just don't let it pass by and not think about it. Let's give it thought and let's meditate on it. And let's really thank God for it. And let's really be humbled by it. And it's a privilege. I don't, if you swept a floor, if you picked up a crumb, if you watched a parking lot, if you parked car, it doesn't make any difference what you did. If you was in the service and got out a chair for somebody to sit in, or you prayed for the services, or you got somebody to come, or Brother Paul was talking about getting people to come, and what's happening now, I say praise God. That's a humbling experience. God lets us get in on his work, and let's glean in his field. And I say to you tonight, thank God. And I praise him and thank him for it. What we're going to do now, be humble about it. But notice the second thing they did. And the seed of Israel, and that's in verse 2 now, separated themselves from all strangers. They separated themselves from all strangers. I just read to you a while ago about some that had professed to be a part of the priesthood and they didn't have a registry to prove it. Their genealogy did not back it up. And they separated from them. But here's what it's saying is, they had a mixed multitude and they separated the Israelites from the others. Now, this is not in a prideful way they're doing this. This is what God had told them to do because these others worshiped idols and were idolaters. And they need to, it's teaching us to separate from the world and separate from things that's not right and let God help us. Now, God helped us tremendously this week. Past week and gave us great challenges and great stirring in our hearts and it really worked in our hearts, but now we ought to humble ourselves and then we ought to separate ourselves from this world and things of this world that drag us down and cause us to fall right back into where we were before Jubilee ever got here. If you're not careful and I'm not careful, we'll be right back where we were. And if not lower than we were. And we don't want that to happen because we get to church and we look around and we wonder, where is everybody and where is, and why didn't they come and why didn't they get in on it? And you know what? I can't answer why other people didn't come. I can't answer why they didn't get in on it. All I can answer for is me and what God did for me. And that's all I can say. And I'm glad many of y'all was here tonight. Got in on it, but I say praise God and the Lamb forever for the goodness of the Lord, and we need to separate. I want you to look in chapter 10, if you would please, of Nehemiah, chapter 10, verse number 28. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethim, and all that had separated themselves from the people of the lands of the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. They clave to their brethren, the nobles, entered into a curse, into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord. Now realize the fact that we're not under law, we're under grace and doing the commandments of the Lord, but God hadn't changed his mind about those commandments. Amen. God hadn't changed his mind. He's always been a holy God. Now we're not justified by doing, we're justified by grace through faith, but he still expects us to obey the word of God. In chapter 13, verse number 1, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that Amorite and Moabite should not come in the congregation of God forever because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, and he should curse them, and howbeit our God turned their curse into a blessing. It came to pass they had heard the law that they separated from Israel, all the mixed multitude. They're just doing what God said to do, separate and separate. And verse number 8, and it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber, and I commanded they cleansed the chambers, neither brought I again thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and frankincense. I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers did the work, were fled everyone to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And gathered them together and so set them in their places. He was concerned about the house of God. Separate from the world and separate unto God and get the house of God in order. And I pray this past week, help us get some things in order in the house of God. I pray that we'll not forsake the house of God now, and that we'll think, well, now, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Jubilee's over, and so it doesn't make any difference about the house of God anymore. It is important about the house of God. And if anything, it ought to boost it up and help us to fill it up and see God do a work in us, amen, and through us. And so what are we going to do now? Well, we're going to separate, I pray we will anyway, from the world and separate from things that keep us from doing what we need to be doing as we ought to do. Notice again in verse number 2 of our text, separate themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. They stood and they started confessing their sins and their iniquities. And if you go through, and I won't take time to do that here tonight, but in Nehemiah, if you go on over in Nehemiah in chapter 10, you'll find about the tithing. They wasn't doing that, and he straightened them out on that. Found out they was taking a day that was a Sabbath day, and they were doing merchandise on that day, and said, you ought not be doing that. And said, we're going to close the gates and shut her up. I'm finding today that the Sunday doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. I still believe Sunday's a special day. I still believe Sunday's a day God has made for us to make it set aside for worship and for rest. I believe that. Amen. I don't believe it's a day we need to be doing a whole lot of stuff. It's done on the Lord's day. How about it all? The world all look and say, that's a peculiar bunch down there on Sunday. They act different than what we do. I want them to know we act different than what they do, because it is a different day. Amen. And they setting some things straight. What are we going to do now? We're just going to say, well, we had Jubilee, had a good time, had great preaching, had great singing. Everything went great. Everything's good now. What are we going to do now? Well, we need to be humble about it. And then we need to separate from the world. And then we need to confess our sin and start and the sins. They didn't even just confess their sin. They confessed sins of people that went before them. They just started confessing up. And that's hard to do. And you say, preacher, why we need to confess? We just got out of Jubilee. We confessed everything we knew. And I dare say that we still got things down inside. You could confess right now. If I'd ask you to confess everything you need to confess, you'd probably be ashamed to say yes, because you know you'd be lying. And amen, I got things I still need to work on in my life. God's still working on me in my life about some things. So I realize that truth and the reality of that. But for the sake of time, we're not going to all that. But I'm telling you, he named over some sins and tried to get them straightened out and tried to help them. And they got the walls built. They got done what they came to do. But now they were going on. And notice what else they did. That's a new word, dude. Maybe it's an old word, just using the wrong way. But did. And stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their father. And then look at verse 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord God 1/4 part of the day. Another 4th part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. You know what they did? They stood for 3 hours and they read in the Word of God. And then when they got through standing for that 3 hours reading the Word of God, they stood another 3 hours confessing their sin and bowing their head and worshiping God. I say hallelujah. I didn't see any of that in Jubilee. And we had great services. We had great times. But I didn't see any of that. If I came in here tonight, I started reading for 3 hours, some of y'all would look at me real funny. And you'd say, now he's getting older and he's done slipped 2 cogs and gone off somewhere and got messed up and he needs help. And y'all probably help me out of the pulpit and take me somewhere and get me checked out. But I'm telling you right now, that's what they did. You remember I read it earlier in the book where Ezra, when he stood up on the pulpit and read, said he read from morning to midday, probably from 9 o'clock to 12. He read in the law. And the Bible says they all stood up. And all the people stood up when he opened up. In other words, when Ezra stood in the pulpit and got the word of God that they had at that time open, the people all stood up. I don't believe he asked them to stand. They just stood in respect for the word of God. They wanted to hear what God had to say. They wanted to know what the law said. They had a hunger for the law. And they wanted to know it, and they wanted to do, and they made commitments, and they confessed their sin. They made all that. What are we going to do now? We're just going to say, good services, hallelujah, had a great jubilee. But what are we going to do now? We're going to be humble, and we're going to separate from the world and separate from things that bother us, things that hinder us, things that's in our way. Then we're going to read the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to preach for 3 hours. Don't get scared. But I may one day. You don't know if God gets in it just right. We may stay around 3 hours. I've seen the time when we stayed around here an awful long time. And when we stayed, I guess, Sunday school and everything, we stayed more than 3 hours. But that's all right. As long as God's in it, I'm for it. Amen. And I'm not saying you just try to duplicate something, make it happen. I'm not saying that. But boy, wouldn't it be good to see God show up in such a manner that we got to reading the Word of God and got to confession and standing on our feet and confessing to God and went on for 3 hours. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I'm talking about doing it because God was in it. I say hallelujah. What are we going to do now? I'd like to make myself a candidate for that. Amen. I'd like to make myself a candidate for God to move in and God to have his way in our services and to manifest himself. I talk about seeing the building filled on Sunday. I tell you how to be filled when God manifests himself and we get stirred in him. Let him have his way in our hearts, our life. And he's first place and other things take second place. And don't get in our way and priorities all get right. We'll see things begin to happen for the glory of God. Amen. Hey, we all like good preaching. We all like good singing. We all like to get in good service. We like to be made feel good. We like to enjoy the emotional part. We like all of that. That's good. That's all right in its place. But it must go deeper than that. It's got to affect our lives if it is to really be what God wants it to be. And so they stood and read, and they worshiped God. And verse 4, after all the names are listed, cried with a loud voice, and Lord their God. Verse 5, after all the names, they said, stand up. And bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be the glorious name which is exalted above all blessing and praise. I want to read you something. Chapter 12, verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also, children rejoiced. Isn't that good? And not only the men rejoiced, wives rejoiced, and children rejoiced. So that the joy of the Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Now in chapter 13 of Nehemiah, verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I Judas, some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and etc. Then he starts in that Sabbath day and what they were doing and so forth. But he's praising God and giving God glory and saying, don't forget. Don't forget. And I don't want God to forget us now. I don't want God to, what are we going to do now? Let God just forget about us? Are we just going to now say, well, we'll wait for next Jubilee and we'll get revived and stirred and go again? No. God wants us to humble now, praise him now, confess now, read the Bible now, pray now, let God have now, and rejoice now. They stood and rejoiced in the Lord. I say hallelujah. That's what we need to do, is just praise his name and give him glory and praise. Well, this first message after Jubilee is always a difficult one to do, but anyway, God helped me with it, and he probably lay on my heart, and that's what I tried to give you tonight, is what are we going to do now? I want to ask every one of us, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Jubilee, as far as preachers being here, as far as everybody being here, the visitors are gone. The preachers that have come in to visit are gone, and we don't have the crowd we had. We don't. It's different now. We could sing that song tonight. It's different now, but that's not what I'm after. But it is different now. But it is now time to be humble about it and praise God. I don't want us to forget Jubilee. I want Jubilee to always be. It's something that God's given this church to have a part in many folks' lives, and I praise God for that, and I'm humbled by it. No question about that. But I want to continue seeking God. I want to separate myself from this world and the things that would hinder me from doing what God wants me to do. I want us as a church to do that. And I want us to read the Word of God, stay in the Word, pray, witness, tell people about Jesus, and keep on praising his name and saying amen and praise the Lord and give God glory. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God and to try to preach the word, try to say something that would help all of us tonight after Jubilee. Encourage our hearts and help us to go on for God. We'll thank you and praise you in all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.